This is Hassling the Paranormal. I'm your host, Jason Hassler. I'm the director of Big River Paranormal, the Oregon team for the Atlantic Paranormal Society. I've been obsessed with the paranormal since having unexplained experiences as a child. These experiences left me with more questions than answers. Join me as we explore all things paranormal with some of the top specialists and experts in the paranormal community. My guest today is author of The Secret War, the true story about real alien war and shadow people, as well as The Hat Man and the true story of evil encounters, and a regular guest on Coast to Coast AM, Heidi Hollis. How are you doing today, Heidi?
I'm doing pretty good, Jason. How are you?
Not too bad. Just getting here and getting this set up was kind of fun, but we got it going now, so we're good. So let's start by talking about shadow people. How did you find an interest in shadow people? How did that start?
Find an interest. You mean discover, name, and define, and tell the whole world about them even existing.
Yes.
So that started quite by accident. I saw something following a friend of mine and I while we were walking in broad daylight. A big shadowy creature was jumping behind trees and bushes, and I initially saw it in my peripheral vision, and I'm like, what the heck am I seeing? Like, I grew up in a haunted house. I knew what ghosts looked like, but I'm seeing something not ghost-like, and returned to where we're walking, and I was staying at our family's home, and I go to my friend. I said, look, I don't know what I just saw, but this thing followed us all over the place, and I drew what I call the head and shoulder shadow being that I have on my website, and I think my friend's going to look at this drawing and say, oh, gosh, Heidi, you're crazy, and she looks at it and instead goes, oh, that guy. Yeah, I don't know. He's been following me since I was a kid. Hey, Dad, look who's up back again. And he goes, oh, not him. Oh, you know, and I'm like, what? You know, what is this thing, you know? And that same, you know, probably 10, 15 minutes after that, I had to go upstairs where I was staying at her family's home. And I went to grab something out of the room. And when I went to leave, that darn thing was blocking my way out of the room. And I can't even tell you that kind of terror and horror. Like, it was, I don't know, 8-10 feet tall, huge, hulking over me, glowing red eyes. And I just knew, like, if I swung at it or ran from it, like, it was going to get me. And I don't know what, I almost feel like something told me to, you know, close your eyes, start saying a prayer, and slowly walk through this. And I did. And, you know, I didn't know it then, but there was a connection to what happened next when I started having these outright night, waking dreams to shadow spiders in my bedroom, in my nightmares. I'm seeing it and I wake up and it's there, or I'd feel these giant spiders drop from my ceiling onto my bed and look, and there it is. And or sometimes I'd see thousands of small ones. So there was like a contagion factor. And it continued. And I'm like, what am I dealing with here? You know, I had no clue, no idea at the time, you know, as this progressed for, you know, a couple of years. And I'd also been a person who'd experienced UFOs. So I started a UFO group. And I, you know, met a lot of people who had alien abductions. So I had a UFO group for over 15 years. People think, oh, you're a ghost hunter. You're a paranormal investigator. I'm like, I grew up in a haunted house. Yes. But I had a UFO group. And this all began as a person, as a woman, looking into UFOs. And the answers came by way of a non-human being that indicated what it was I was dealing with when it came to these shadow things that I started calling shadow people. I hadn't heard anybody say it before. People like, oh, yeah, you know, you took that from this or that. I'm like, no, that's why I stand as the person that owns the copyright and trademarks to shadow people and Hat Man. Check the copyright. So I wrote the book literally on them in 1997. And I started sending around the manuscript trying to get a publisher. And it took till gosh, it took me 2 months to write that book, 4 years to get it published. But in the meantime, it had spread among other researchers who happened to be publishers. So if it was spoken of before that, you're welcome. So that's how it happened for me. It wasn't something I was looking into. It was something I was experiencing. And I was in college, and my college roommate and I were met with a non-human being who told us the whole lowdown on everything that has to do with shadow people, the alien connection, Hat Man, all of it. So it's not separate. The paranormal community kind of grabbed a hold of it and said, the paranormal community didn't grab a hold of it to begin with. They're like, you're just seeing the shadows of ghosts. I got a lot of flack from ghost hunters. You don't know what it is that, you know, you're dealing with. I'm like, who's this ghost hunting society of people? I had no idea, you know? And I'm like, then you haven't met a shadow being, because once you do, you'll know the difference between a ghost and these things, because they're demonic. Told to me by a non-human entity that spoke of God and how to essentially repel these things using Christ's name. I mean, a so-called non-human being that looked very much like a small child, which I never thought of for most of this time, honestly. It was just a handful of years ago that I'm like, hold it. These things admitted that they've been called different things throughout time as being angelic. And an angelic being told me and my college roommate that these shadow beings and the negative abducting beings worked together and were demonic. So it essentially became clear that I was dealing with spiritual warfare. And, you know, people today, the paranormal community, the ghost hunters, now accept the shadow people thing and have grabbed a hold of it. And I'm like, this came from the alien research community of a person, of a woman that, was essentially rebuked for a long time. But the message has gotten across, but the full story has not been given because of the different hands that grabbed at it and try to define it for something it isn't. But you got the origin story here, Jason. I'll tell you the whole thing.
Why do you think it is that you've been given this information?
Oh, Jason, that gets to the heart of a lot, and actually a new work that I'm about to put out. But I could tell you, I know the beginnings of why. When this first happened, where myself and my college roommate were being met with this non-human being, I'll refer to as being like an angelic being now, I had an extraordinary experience that I have no definition really for. I'd never experienced anything like it before or since. And the only way I could get it out is just telling you exactly what happened. I was sitting there talking to my college roommate, got up, we're sitting in the living room, got up to walk across the living room to go use the restroom. And as I'm walking, I literally was just not there anymore. I found myself gazing on a scene in space, if you will. And I saw a spinning sun, the best way I could describe it. And it glowed, right? And there were trillions upon trillions of balls of light in this spinning sun. And I knew I was like in the center of the universe somehow. And each ball of light was a soul. And every soul would contribute to a thought when it came to it. Like it would pass through this light, and each like it could be a goal, a thought, a mission, whatever it was. And all these souls would contribute to this thought, and it would go to the center of this light and become one, right? And I saw myself as one of these souls, and this thought came by of something that needed to be done. And I remember casually thinking, that's something I could do. And it was like everybody took a step back in line and said, well, she said she'd do it. I'm like, well, hold on here. What's going on? And all of a sudden I'm being torn from this love soup of light. And I knew the name of this place was called The Source. I won't say it's God. I'll say it's a part of God that we all come from, you know. And I knew I had to go off to be essentially taught or trained on in this lifetime. And I went off to go to different places. And one place that I'd experienced a lot as a kid, I had terrible seizures. And I would come back with memories of this heaven-like place. Crystal buildings that looked very much like ancient Greek buildings, but all white, white marble and white crystal. And I went there to get taught on how to essentially teach people about this demonic presence that's here, right? And I know how far-fetched it sounds. I'm like, and then I go, boom, right back to my body, right? And I'm in the middle of my living room walking. I'm frozen in place. And all of a sudden, I get back into my body, and I just grab my head and go, oh, how could I forget? How could I forget? How could I forget? And my roommate's like, forget what? You didn't go to the bathroom. You just froze in the, you know, one leg in the air walking. And I said, how could I forget who I am and why I came here? And I said, I'm a college student. I didn't come here to be a therapist. You know, I went to grab the phone to quit school and everything. And wow. And it was just like, I remembered my ultimate mission of being here. And nothing else has mattered ever since. And I've been homesick ever since, to be honest. And the closest I can compare it to is when people have had near-death experiences and they miss it. And it just was perfect love. I just have no other words for it. But you know what was interesting? I'll never forget when I was going to all women's Catholic college at the time. They spoke of the number one symbol for God around indigenous worlds, around the world, indigenous cultures. The number one symbol was a spinning sun. Huh. And I remember exclaiming in class, oh, that's it. That's it. And my, you know, everybody spun around. I'm like, I was like, that's what I saw. So, and I'm very Christian. I'll say that. I still am very Christian, you know, and it balances just fine. I'd had encounters with things that I just would have never expected, but that was the first of several things that happened. So I remembered agreeing to do this. It's odd, you know, people say, well, why did you trademark this? I'm like, why did Spider-Man get trademarked? You know, it's like, yeah. I did that because people were taking this information and making it entertainment. I'm talking about the devil, like, essentially, when it comes to Hatman, taking souls, shadow people taking souls, trapping people, and people are trying to make a buck. There's millionaires out there who've made money off from this. I'm not one of them, because they went and did projects or books and stuff and didn't. Sometimes they reached out to me and just did what they wanted anyways. But the message is not to be like, ooh, look at this. No, the message is to warn people and arm them on how to protect themselves. And it's been a shame that this is what's taken place. But and it sounds weird, Jason, but coming from a lady in this field, I was told to my face more times than I could count, especially by the entertainment business, you know, oh, we can't have a woman lead on this show. You know, they want to have me on different television shows. Can you teach a guy everything, you know?
Oh, wow.
What? I'm like, yeah. And then imagine doing an interview, right? And you're like on a show and then you see a guy being put there you didn't know existed, saying your exact words, and then you're cut out as if you're just a side hustle, you know. That's what got you into this, Heidi? I'm like, what? You're talking about this because I did this for over 20 years, guy, you know. So, yeah, it's a disappointing thing. And I know it has to be spoken of a certain way. I know it has to be put out a certain way. And that's what I've been trying to do. Instead of people saying there's nothing to fear with these things, like they're downplaying demons and the devil coming at people. I'm like, what? Like, no. So it's been a long road. And, you know, I, like I said, wrote the book in 97 and have not stopped. The passion and the fire in me, it's something I can't put out because, and I wouldn't want to, because it's a part of everything and my whole reason for being. And, you know, I am a therapist. I did finish college. I'm an occupational therapist. So I work with people with physical, mental, and cognitive disabilities, but my passion is helping souls.
When you first started with this, did you start to wonder about yourself? Like, is there something going on with me? Like, you know, like, am I having some mental health crisis or what's going on with me? Or did you just know that it was for real?
I didn't have any doubts about myself because I know myself. And I grew up in a haunted house where, you know, me and my siblings, we all said, did you see that? Yep. Uh-huh. That one's interesting. You know, so I didn't question myself like that. I think a lot of people are surprised, and I'm like, I had no reason to question myself. And, you know, I had witnesses. First time I saw these shadow beings was walking with a friend who had dealt with it for years. So there was never a question for myself. It's been, you know, pretty solid in my understanding. My family never said, oh gosh, Heidi, something's wrong with you. My whole family is like, oh, those things suck, don't they? You know, it's like, it was an easy acknowledgement. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, I've always associated shadow people with negativity or depression. Would you say that's accurate?
They're attracted to it. They're attracted to other things as well. So negativity, death, illness, injuries, any kind of static that you can imagine, but they also cause it. So they're attracted to it. If they weren't there before, they will be there to try to wreak some more havoc.
Okay.
Yeah, so they definitely are part of that.
So who do you think is most likely to encounter like Hatman or a shadow person?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, and I get it from people who write me as well, that, you know, they'll say, this is what happened in my life. I've seen this, I've seen that. It's because I did drugs, isn't it? Or it's because I was an alcoholic, right? And it's like, that's when it started or whatever. And it's like, yeah, there are certain things you can do to attract them. I mean, alcohol is called spirits for a reason, you know? So your defenses are down. So they are absolutely attracted to you. If they could take advantage, they will. But 9 times out of 10, I think people are more shocked to hear that is usually not the case. These things are attracted to the light in us, okay? And especially those of us who shine a little bit brighter. And I'm not saying like, you know, something's wrong with the other people. I'm saying people who are gifted in a sense of, even if they're like a musician, they're more artistic, they're more aware of their surroundings, you know, people who like to write poems, something about those who have an extra sensory of a sort as well. These things like to spot you out and block your light because mankind is evolving. That is just a known thing and a known understanding for myself. And these things are trying to block our ability to see and sense them. Because if we're blind to them, we don't see who's pulling the strings. So this is essentially their way of taking us down one step at a time. So I tell people it's not always that. And you know, people feel they're screwed. Like the devil himself came and paid me a visit and said he's going to take my soul. And I'm like, oh boy, you know, now when I hear of somebody who has experienced, especially Hat Man, often, I want to know that person because I'm like, whoa, what has them so nervous that they have to come that often to take you down? I'm like, you must be one heck of a powerhouse. And they're always like surprised. And I'm like, no, really, you're amazing. You're scaring the devil himself.
That's kind of interesting.
So, you know, applause to you. Applause to you.
As someone who's had, as someone who's had an experience with that, it's kind of interesting for sure. So, yeah, when I was a kid, I would see what's been described as Hat Man, and I don't know why I saw it, but my brother saw it as well when we were kids, and we grew up in a haunted house as well, so we just attributed it to that. And we also attributed it to, hey, we're kids, we're, you know, it's our imagination, that kind of stuff. But that house was something. Yeah, it was why I got into this paranormal stuff, because growing up in that house, for the little time I spent there as a young kid, you know, it really had a big impression on me. I would see that, and I kind of felt like, yeah, like that spirit was around all the time and like just kind of waiting for its mm-hmm. opportunity. So when I was probably 10 years ago or so, I was really, really sick, and I was staying at my brother's house at the time. And I thought, you know, I was hallucinating because I had a high fever or something, but like I could see like this hat man type person in the corner just telling me, you're going to die, and laughing at me. So I attributed it in my head to, you know, like, this fever is really high. You know, like I'm starting to hallucinate, but I've often wondered, was that a real thing? Like, I mean, was it really there? And I just kind of was like, no, you know, like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I really thought I was going to die.
And one thing and he was waiting for you to die. Now, the one thing I should be clear about too, you know, it's not a good thing, of course, for him to keep coming around. He's too close. He's too close if he keeps coming around. And if he's talking to you, he's really, really got his fingers into you and your life. And you do have to get rid of him, because he is waiting for the opportunity to grab your soul if you cross over. And he does. He does take people. Shadow people take people. Negative alien beings take people's souls. This is their whole big drive. And it sounds ridiculous, but this is it. And it's kind of, you know, I'm thrilled that the government, the Pentagon people are talking about this now, how aliens are demons. And people are like, oh, come now, they wouldn't be. Yeah, they are. And you know, it was really hard for me to get that understanding out there to the world. These are not to be, you know, entertained. So yeah, when you're sick and he's telling you you're going to die soon, think about this. Did he really have to show up to tell you that? No, he didn't. He could have just let you die and just grabbed you. Yeah. He has to convince you, you are helpless. You're dying and I'm here to take you. And you would be like, okay. You know, there's something to them trying to get permission from you. And you just have to say, no, not happening. Get away in Jesus' name. Now, I'm Christian. And I can't say I had the same faith that I do now until I got my memories back with what I told you. But also, I mean, now imagine this. Here I'd seen what I did and what I remembered, and I'd seen angelic people. I'd seen this Crystal City place, right? And I was a skeptic of Jesus being real. I mean, I knew he was a historical figure, but I just thought, oh, he's going to come back one day, and I just left it like that. And I put in my book, The Secret War, the first book on shadow people, if Jesus were around, I think I would have seen him by now. Like, I was cocky to that extent, because I felt like I'd seen so much that people were obviously mistaking these angelic beings for Jesus. And then I had my first encounter, and I changed everything. I just want people to know that as powerful as the dark is, the shadow, the hat man, the light is a lot more powerful. And I mean Christ. I mean God. I don't mean any of this New Age fluff, Christ consciousness stuff. That's not real. That's not the thing. People will preach it, and it diverts the attention from who came to rescue us from this pit of things being thrown at us. I mean, we've got a lot of paranormal stuff going on around here.
Yeah, for sure.
And there is one way, and that's what I know works. I don't know to throw Christ consciousness at Hat Man. That doesn't work. You have to say Jesus. I don't know to throw a statue of Buddha at it either. You know, I don't want to knock people for what they believe to be true for themselves, but I want people to know the thing I know that works, the man I know that works, is the name of Jesus in the face of anything negative. And there's a way to keep them out of your home and out of your life. Otherwise, there's no way I'd be able to do what I'm doing, because I was infested with these things. And so I think I put it in like several of my books, like three of my books, on how to bless your home to get rid of these things. But also, you know, if you need that help, go on my website, HeidiHollis.com or HatmanHelp.com and go under the Help tab. And I spell out exactly how to do it because I don't know any price tag on a soul. It's free. Go do it. You know, it's like, just do it because these things are placing their bets on us not to figure them out. And this is not the time to fence sit and go, well, I'm spiritual, not religious. I'm not religious, but I'm a Christian. You know, I don't go to church, but I know who's here for me, you know, and I've been fortunate to have the opportunity to speak about these things as plainly as I do on the biggest platform out there, Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Yeah.
And because I don't try to cram it down people's throats, I just try to be plain and simple about it. This works. And I have a podcast under coasttocoastam.com called Dark Becomes Light. It is free to listen to, where I go through people's experiences, read their stories off, or interview people, and give level-headed advice on how to deal with it. You know, or you could, on my website, I have links as well. I want people to be able to know they can reach out to me through my site and vent, you know, and tell me what's going on because I've been there. I've experienced the odd things. And, you know, you asked me if I've questioned my sanity. I got that so much. I'm like, I'm a therapist. What? You know? Yeah. I've counseled people too. You know, occupational therapy would cover a lot of different aspects of what it is to be human. I tell people it's a combo of a speech pathologist and a physical therapist because we cover all of these different areas. So, you know, I know myself. I trust myself. Back in ancient times, somebody say they saw something weird. They weren't questioned. They said, let's get at it. Yeah. Let's get rid of this thing. You know, we lost our understandings of these things as different institutions grabbed up the ancient knowledge and owned it and, you know, cleaned up our whole thought of anything out of the ordinary, you know. So time to take back our power.
So what advice would you give to somebody like, say, me, who's a non-religious person? What advice would you give to them when it comes to this kind of stuff? If, you know, if they're just...
Oh, yes. Well, you know. So, Jason, trust me, that's like most of people. Yeah. I don't know why, but I just saw the devil. I don't get into that religious thing, but I just saw the devil. I'm like, well, that's a Christian. That's a very religious term there. Yeah. So if you can believe that the devil exists, how is it so difficult to believe there's an opposite power? That is the biggest, challenge and folly that I think I ever hear is, they could acknowledge darkness, but not the light. The darkness is quick to respond to you because it has to. It has to convince you of it. But that's where that little trickle of faith thing comes in to say, but I know there's something better. If you could feel and sense something was there telling you you're going to die soon, you saw it. Imagine the power of the opposite to smack that thing down with just the faith the size of a mustard seed, as Jesus mentions in the Bible. That's all you need. And it's belief in the power of a name, too. And people are like, it's like they don't have the perfect faith thing. So they're just give up on the whole thing because, you know, this ghost dancing on my camera is a lot more believable.
Yeah.
I get it. And that's why I wrote books in, if you go to the other fword.com, F stands for faith. I wrote, I'm a cartoonist as well. And I did a couple of books, like kind of like Diary of a Wimpy Kid with the notebook lines and everything to get people to give themselves a break on trying to be perfect in their faith because we're flawed in everything. Oh, but we got to be perfect in that. Give me a break. No, you don't. It works to have a flicker of hope. And these things know that. They don't want you to understand that they can be defeated. They can be defeated easily. They got to convince you to be defeated more than anything. So why is that? We come from good and we know that. Even though you might feel like, God, I've did some pretty horrible things. Well, yeah, we all have some bad things. But that's how we were made. We're supposed to fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up. So I encourage people to stop being so hard on themselves. Your faith doesn't have to be perfect. And I mean faith against darkness, and to know what goes against that darkness is our creator, God. You know, people have different names. Some people say source this, source that. I know it as the source, but I know it's not God. I know that's not God itself, you know, himself. So it's a challenge, and I get it. I questioned a lot of different things, and then I feel like I cheated in my faith, because it only took for Jesus to come and smack me upside my head to straighten me out, because I did have encounters with him. I questioned his existence. I would have never thought I'd see him of all things, you know, like, come on, that seems fairy tale, but why? It's ancient texts. Well, they're full of dreams. They're full of visions. They're full of, I mean, and we've got billions of people all these many years later who understand and believe it from somebody just had a dream. And I, you know, I have friends that are Muslim that are from Israel, even Israeli Jewish. And they're like, yeah, Heidi, I don't know about that Jesus guy. I'm like, oh, really? What's the date? And they tell me, I'm like, oh, so many years since his death. Something major happened with this man named Jesus that we all set our clocks to his death. Something major had to happen that we still acknowledge, you know, 2025 years since the year of our Lord. Oh, really? Yeah, that's what time it is. So if we can believe just that little bit that something shook up history from when he was here to after, then I think you'll be just fine. And it's, you know, go through the motions, and the emotions will follow. So truly, I get it. I mean, that's why I have the different types of, you know, I write books on the paranormal, and I jumped over to a book on Jesus encounters and one on angel encounters, and then I cartooned these books, you know, and people are like, my God, you jump all over the place. I'm like, it all encompasses the same conversation, because people are puzzled with what they're seeing. And then like, oh, I don't get into that religious thing. And it's like, well, how do you get comfortable with that? So I wrote the other F word, how to find faith and laugh at yourself while trying, because there's different stages of it. You know, it's like fickle faith, you know, flipping faith. Yeah. So I have all these different stages with funny cartoons, and how do you get to the next level, you know, and just keeping it fun and light. And I just think it's so very important. And in all honesty, I mean, Jason, I'll send you a link to download the ebook, because I think it's that important.
I'll check it out. Yeah, for sure.
I'll give it to you. I'll send it to you for free. So don't worry about it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, I get it. It's like you just were met with the devil. and because you've seen him.
Yeah.
And you haven't gotten rid of them necessarily. You just haven't seen them again. It worries me that, you know, and then you dropped your belief in anything, or you just never did. And he knows that. He does tend to hang around people who don't belong to an understanding of God. So there is that attraction too.
Yeah, I've had a few different instances of things, but, you know, I was, you know, a young child in that old house. I was probably 8 when I saw a UFO outside my window, and it landed in our field. In fact, it landed, we had these three buildings, and it landed on the middle one. Why? It was like a 40-acre farm. I have no idea why it chose to land on the middle building. You know, they could have landed in the grass just fine without crushing a building, but they did not. So I, you know, of course I get up, I scream and yell and tell my parents there's a UFO outside, and they're like, shut up and go back to sleep. You had a bad dream. Until the next morning, they got up and that building was crushed. Just like I told them, but they didn't listen. Yeah.
There you have it.
Yeah. It's kind of, so it's all like, I've always wondered if all this was connected, you know, with the aliens.
Well, it goes to show the connection, connecting factors between aliens and these shadow beings and Hat Man.
Would you say children are more likely to experience these kind of things than adults?
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that was going to be my next point, is they love to groom children much like a perv might. Yeah. They try to get children to be used to their presence, to be more accepting, more open. I mean, children are more perceptive in general. They can see these things a lot clearer than most of us, you know, as adults. So they're more open, and these beings can see that openness, and they will come in and try to entertain them to be comfortable with the dark, comfortable with Hat Man getting in the bed there with them. I've had conversations with people who fell in love with him. He was always there to snuggle. My God,
that's not creepy at all.
I mean, how disgusting. But when you're 2 and 3 years old,
yeah.
And then I've had people who said, I remember being in my baby crib and Hat Man leaning over, and I was crying, and with a look, Hat Man gave a baby. They knew not to scream because he was going to kill them if they screamed. What kind of power is that? What kind of evil is that, that he can impress upon a baby that's in a baby crib? And who, it's crazy how some people have memories like this, but it was so ingrained in them that it was their earliest memory of Hat Man threatening their soul to not scream. I mean, this is what we're dealing with. So this is not entertainment. This is darkness. Yeah.
When I was doing research about Hat Man and shadow people, I came across a theory about Benadryl causing visions of Hat Man. What's your feelings on that?
Oh gosh, it's people. And this was another reason that, you know, trying to get this under control, because the Hat Man phenomenon and me speaking on it is what brought this into awareness. And here's people dabbling with drugs to experience him. And some have overdosed and some have died. And you bring yourself close enough to being lethargic and drunk or high. That's the same attraction. He's attracted to people who are out of control. So absolutely, if you want to be possessed, if you want to lose your soul and keep dabbling, yeah, have at it, you know, but I would not recommend it. It is not something that I would recommend to anybody, just to see that something exists outside of this life. I mean, I think it's childish, and it was a child that died playing with that. So I just, drinking, drugs. I mean, Benadryl is a drug. So, you'll experience him. He wants to loosen your attachment to your body so he can have his type infiltrate and possess you, and have your soul when you go to crossover. There's information out there, if anybody's interested, in our government speaking about them knowing that people's souls are being taken by non-human beings, alien beings, so-called alien beings. They want you to think that they're just flying around through the universe when they're actually demonic, and people are being taken underground where people smell sulfur and it's very hot, you know? These gray alien beings that people are wearing on their t-shirts and go, aliens, go. They're opening up the doors for you, and it's disgusting. It's sad. But it's hard for people to imagine, because our ancient knowledge was snatched from us and hoarded by institutions. And we're left to linger, grabbing for little pieces here and there and trying to get in those right conversations. And this whole alien disclosure UFO thing, on good authority and in research and some government agents coming forward to speak about it, say that they're hesitant to tell people that when they cross over, when they leave this life, that they are essentially going to be absorbed by these demonic alien beings that are outright connected to shadow beings. Now, I didn't tell you yet how the shadow people and aliens are connected, which is deep and dark. And again, this is stuff I wrote as a college student. How would I have this knowledge? There is nobody to research. I'm sitting there experiencing something, and an alien, so-called alien being that spoke of Christ and God, tells me this information, and it still holds true today, that these beings that are controlled by a dark source. There's a light source. Like I had seen the source, this spinning sun, But there's a dark source for things like shadow people, Hat Man, and they essentially conquered other beings, possessed them. So we're talking about possessed so-called alien beings taken over by shadow beings, because people can't understand, like, well, okay, we see gray aliens, we see praying mantis beings, we see some Nordics, but they're all doing similar things. They're violating people, abusing them in every single way you can imagine. And I don't think I have to go through the list. No. And it's like, what's their agenda? Why do they have this in common? And then those same people see shadow people that see aliens, and they have poltergeist experiences. They have haunted homes that they're living in. They're all connected. I've seen gray alien beings turn into shadow spiders because they are connected. Their faces will contort to look like a shadow being, or they'll wear hats to look like Hat Man. They are one and the same. They're essentially possessed and controlled by a single dark source. And there is a Hat Man that is the main guy, but there are others that work under him that'll also replicate to kind of look like him. But he sometimes doesn't wear a hat. Sometimes he changes his outfit. But one thing, he wants you to recognize him and the pattern of him, because he wants people to fear him. But struggling and suffering alone is because, well, my faith sucks, not going to be able to fight this. That is not the case. That is not the case. Bless your home. And I have the method of blessing your home on my website, hatmanhelp.com or HeidiHollis.com, under the help tab. And then I have a book that I drew that shows you the actual method, that's called The Hat Man, a guide in comics on how to go against dark entities. So hope is not lost.
And those are all available on your website as well as like Amazon?
The books are, yes. But yeah, the way to help yourself is free on my website. I have it typed out on there on how to get rid of them. You don't have to deal with negative aliens, negative shadowy things. You don't have to deal with them.
What is your thoughts on sleep paralysis? People have reported sleep paralysis and seeing these things when they were experiencing that. What are your thoughts on that?
Let me tell you, when I first started speaking on shadow people, thousands of people, that first night I went on a radio show, Coast to Coast, and sightings I went on with Jeff Rentz, the emails haven't stopped. It got to be such a big deal. They had to try to explain it away. Oh, sleep paralysis. I'm like, what? You know, scientifically speaking, sleep paralysis is, the part in your brain that freezes you. So you're not kicking if you're seeing yourself running in a dream or whatever. So there's like a paralysis that happens with that. And they're saying your brain wakes up before your body wakes up, where you're able to move and whatnot. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was like a smoke and mirror type of thing. Yeah, there are some people who have a medical issue. But if you're waking up and the same thing is happening to you that's happened to millions, not thousands, millions around the world, sleep paralysis, here's some drugs so you'll sleep through it. So you don't see the demon ripping at your soul. Wearing the same hat, the same suit, glowing red eyes with the same jagged teeth, saying how he's going to shred you and take your soul like that. I'd say that you're really dealing with something. We are not having a mass hallucination. I don't even apologize for that. We're not. Shadow spiders. Oh, yeah. If you're feeling a dark presence, come on. Oh my gosh. It's ridiculous. I had, I think the coolest one I had, somebody wrote me to say, like, they were paralyzed and they couldn't say, if you just say the name of Jesus, it disappears. Funny how that happens. Aliens too. They'll just leave. No, Jesus. Oh, that hurts. I got to go. But then we're not dealing with, we're not dealing with a sleep paralysis or a fake thing. But I had a person said I couldn't speak Jesus' name. So I made the sign of the cross on the roof of my mouth, and Hat Man disappeared and I could move. Wow.
That's very interesting.
Wow. It is interesting. And I'm happy to hear more people are doing research on how they stopped alien abductions or other types of experiences by using the name of Jesus. Huh. You could look that up too. It's tons.
So has anybody ever gotten Hatman or Shadow people like on camera, video, pictures, anything like that? Have you ever seen anything that you believe was actually real?
Many.
Yeah.
Many. I believe there's many. I mean, I know AI has taken over and people are trying to make a living off from these fake videos. But yeah, there's been many before AI was out there. As remember, I've been doing this for over 25 years. So it's like, I've gotten many pictures of these things. And, you know, I know everybody hopes to be the next big star in the paranormal world to say, look at the evidence. But I hope when people get out and try to help people that are dealing with these things, it is to help. It isn't all about evidence. It isn't all about making a buck. We know these things are going on around us. And sometimes we just need somebody to talk to because it breaks my heart that I get emails from around the world. And they're telling me they're horrible, horrible stories. And they don't feel they could roll over in bed and tell their wife or tell their kids or coworkers. They just fought for their very lives and souls. And they can't talk about it because they'll be dubbed crazy. And I think it's time to start talking about these things more casually. That, you know, if I've ever had a complaint, it's people say, oh, you laugh too much or you sound too happy doing this. I speak of these things as I would talk having a coffee about anything. Yeah. Because standing here with a flashlight under my chin is going to clear the room and people won't want to learn anymore. It's about reaching out and reaching a level of being comfortable and friendly on these conversations so people learn and grow and fight and defeat these evil things, hoping that we die as children with a fever at the age of 10 like you did. How sick. Yeah. How sick. What are we dealing with, man? It's horrible.
So before we go, is there anything you'd like to add or share?
Yeah, you know, I just want people to not feel defeated. Don't feel like they got to be perfect. And like they deserve to have these evil things come their way. You know, there is a reason why someone came to intercede. His name was Jesus. And he's made a huge impact where we all have our calendars turned to his time to know when he left and a time when he's going to be returning. I think a lot of people are so anticipating end of all times, you know, to happen. Like, ooh, I feel it's coming. It's a coming. And I'm worried that we're going to lose too many people if the end comes anytime soon, because a lot of people are still not comfortable to say they have a faith, to say that evil needs to go or to stop going doing grave hunts and stuff, you know, sitting out and just welcoming evil. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, there's a lot more that can be done to bring light into their life, to bring God into their life and just speak it. Even, you know, they say fake it till you make it. If you even start speaking more positive, things can change. You don't have to feel like you're sitting in the pit of horrible things happening to you that are supernatural that nobody's going to believe. Trust me when I say scientists are on it. Religious institutions are on it. I mean, who owns the most powerful observatory in the world? The Vatican. What are they looking at? The stars for fun? No, they know what's up there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's just crazy. And you hear the scientists talking. You hear there's a lot of agents who are talking, you know, but there's also my neighbor. There's also my sister. There's also, we have to start taking each other's word for what it is that we're experiencing. And, you know, and I want to welcome people to reach out to me again if they've experienced something, if they have questions. And, you know, we got to learn to have fun in facing evil too. They hate laughter. They hate joy. They hate a light kept on at night. They hate anything that brings in positivity. So fluff it up. Leave a nightlight on. You're not a baby, I know. But guess what? Keeps the darkness away. You know, I just want people to know. I do a paranormal comic strip too called The Outlanders comic on Instagram, but theoutlanderscomic.com. And it's, you know, it's to keep things real, keep things light, and, you know, just to bring attention to understanding this is a part of our world.
Well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time. So I really appreciate having you on, and we'll definitely do it again if you're willing, because I feel like you have so much more to say.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to this
story. Oh, there's a lot more to say.
All right.
Yeah, no, Jason, this has been a blast. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
The Community Angels at National Women's Coalition Against Violence and Exploitation, or NWCAVE, have a dream, a world without violence. NWCAVE educates about the prevention of violence against women and children. Learn more at nwcave.org.
Programming like this is made possible by support from High Five Cannabis, your local cannabis connection, in Vancouver and Stevenson, Washington. High Five offers flower, concentrates, edibles, tinctures, topicals, and more. Whether you're new to cannabis or know what you need, their staff is available to assist. If you go to highfivecannabis.com, spelled H-I-G-H, the number 5, cannabis.com, you can learn about their specials like Munchy Monday, Senior Tuesdays, Waxy Wednesdays, and Loyalty Thursdays. Again, that's highfivecannabis.com. Oh, you know it. Big thank you to Georgie's Garage and Grill for supporting KXRW programming. They offer a full bar and signature meals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that is not the usual bar food. Their food will keep you coming back for more. Dine in or take out. They also offer a venue space for live music and community events. Georgie's Garage and Grill is located downtown Vancouver at 606 Broadway Street. More information can be found at georgiesgarageandgrill.com.
You better work.
Discover our city's hidden gem, hiding right below the sidewalk. Underbar is a speakeasy-themed cocktail lounge located downtown Vancouver. As an LGBTQ-friendly and gay-owned space, it is a go-to destination for weekly events such as comedy, trivia, bingo, and open mic nights. Local artists are featured every first Friday of the month, and every fourth Sunday is Underbar's Underground Drag Brunch Show, 2 to 4 p.m. More information and location can be found at underbarvancouver.com. That's underbarvancouver.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Another one bites the dust.
The Colombian calls singer-songwriter Al Perez a soulful performer masterfully woven, whether he's on his acoustic guitar solo or backed by his five-member live band. Al Perez has thrilled local and abroad audiences for over two decades with his unique blend of light rock, R&B, fan-favorite covers, and a touch of Latin flavor. To book Al Perez or hear his latest Warrior Records release, Love Revolution, go to warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez. That's warriorrecords.com/Al-Perez.
Trouble.